بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد My brothers and sisters, it was the 13th year of revelation, the 13th year of Risalat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had suffered in that particular year and the year before that a very much more enhanced level of harassment which extended not only to him and his family but to his whole tribe, to the all of the Banu Hashim. And during the course of that year, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered two very major bereavements. He lost his uncle Abu Talib, who was the head of Banu Hashim and the greatest supporter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he lost his beloved wife, our mother Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha. That year was so severe and it was so difficult that historians have called it Al-Aamul Huzn, the year of sadness. It was at this time that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping, not completely sleeping but dozing at the Kaaba, when Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. And we know the whole story of the Isra wal Mi'raj, so I will not go into the details of it. But he took him from Makkah to Jerusalem to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and then from there he took him in a journey across the dimensions of time and space to the seventh heaven, into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jaladhu. Jibreel alayhi salam took him until Sidratul Muntaha. After Sidratul Muntaha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on his own into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jaladhu, where Allah showed him what he wanted to show him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this trip, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى إلى المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. The first ayat of Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that glorified is he who took his slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam from Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, and he took him to Masjid al-Aqsa, barakna hawlahu, the surroundings of which are purified and full of barakah, and showed him what he wanted to show him. And he is the one who is Sami'ul Basir. He is the one who sees everything and who knows everything and who hears everything. The culmination of this journey, of this great ascension, was a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. It is the way of kings that when somebody goes to visit them, they come back laden with gifts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هو الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم. He is the only true king. and he is the Rabb of the Arshul Kareem. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit him, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him, at the end of that visit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a gift. And what was that gift? That gift was the salah. That gift was the salah. Why is the salah a gift? Because what is it that the slave wants? What is it that anybody who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, what is it that he will want? To be able to go into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at will. To be able to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever he wants. To know that he has the attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him, that Allah is listening to his dua, that Allah will protect him from evil. This is what anybody wants. And that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given as a gift. We know the whole story of the 50 salawat which came down to 5. The 50 salawat were what? Take the day and divide it 24 hours by 50, you have roughly half an hour. So every half hour. And some of you must be thinking, my God, what a burden. Every half hour. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And to that I say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Because what do you say to somebody who is given a gift and he considers that gift to be a burden? Except to say, inna lillah. How disgraceful and how ungrateful to get a gift, and a gift the like of which there cannot be. Because what is a better and bigger gift than to be in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at will? What can be better than that? For something to be better than that, you have to find someone who is bigger than Allah. Na'udhu billah. And if we get that gift, and we consider that gift to be a burden, then what do you say? At best, you call it ignorance. At worst, I leave it to you. This is salah. Salah is the gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as his sadaqah, given to his ummah. Because Allah gave the gift to his Nabi alayhi salam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wa ala ibadillahi salihin. And also to the people. Wa ala ibadillahi salihin refers to salam. But the point is that this gift was given also to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I request you to think about this. I request you to think about this. There is a beautiful hadith where Rasulullah said that Musa alayhi salam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, Ya Allah, I am thanking you, I want to thank you that you have given me this position where I speak to you, that you have given me this huge ummah, Bani Israel. And Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, is there any ummah which is better than this? Are there any people who you have blessed more than you blessed my ummah? He's thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's saying, you have given me everything and you have blessed this ummah. And it's a way of saying, I don't think anybody could be more blessed. But he's not saying that because that is against the adab. So he says, is there anyone, any ummah that you have blessed more than you have blessed my ummah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, yes, there is an ummah. And this ummah is the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Musa alayhi salam says, how are they more blessed than my ummah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are more blessed because, and this is a long hadith, I'm not narrating to you the whole thing, but highlights of it. He said they are more blessed because they will do small deeds for which I will give them huge reward. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu says, it's a hadith of Qudsi, that if a person prays the 5 farz salawat on time, it is my responsibility on the day of judgment to forgive that person and enter him into Jannah. Just the five farz salawat on time. If someone is praying the 5 farz salawat on time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it is my responsibility to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. And if he does not pray those 5 salawat on time, then I am not responsible for him. Even more than that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, with ikhlas will enter Jannah. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? He said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it keeps you away from haram. This is the ummah for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave one single night, Laylatul Qadr. The ibadat in which are more than khayrum min al-fishar. Not equal to. More than. How much more? More in keeping with the one who said more. I did not say more. Allah said more. So what is more according to Allah? Allah knows. One single night. In his entire life, if he gets one single Laylatul Qadr, he has got the reward of ibadat, of praying, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously for 1,000 months. And the reward is more than what would have been had he worshipped Allah for 1,000 months without a break. Day and night, 24/7. It's not even something which can be done physically. Even if you decide, I will do it for 1 month. You can't even do it for 1 day. Forget, where is 1 month? This is the ummah about whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when they grow old, in the deen, as Muslims, and their beards become white. And remember, these statements are not gender specific. The sisters should not feel, well, I don't have a beard. Good thing you don't have a beard. But the equivalent of that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a person becomes 70 years old, 80 years old, and his beard becomes white, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I feel shy to punish him. This is the ummah. And Allah mentioned many things. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Rabbal Alameen, can I see this ummah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you cannot see the ummah because I have not created it yet. But Allah said, I can allow you to listen to the voice of the ummah. You cannot see this ummah, but you can hear this ummah. So Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, please let me hear this ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called, Ya Ummat Muhammad. Ya Ummat Muhammad. And the Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the Alamul Arwah. We answered. And we said, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. We answered, you answered, I answered. Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, what a beautiful ummah, what a beautiful sound. He said, Ya Allah, make me the Nabi of this ummah. Give this ummah to me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this ummah already has a Nabi. And the Nabi of the Ummah is Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Musa alayhi salam, Kalimullah, Sahibul Sharia, Hamilul Tawrat, the Ummah of the Nabi of the Ummah of Bani Israel, he says, Oh Allah, give me this Ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I cannot give you this ummah because this ummah has a Nabi and that Nabi is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, if you cannot give me this ummah, then make me from this ummah. Make me an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A step more after that comes Isa alayhi salam, another of the great Anbiya alayhi salam of Bani Israel. Ruhullah, Kalimatullah, Ayatullah, the sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a man whose birth is a miracle, a man whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the only two people who shaitan has never touched our Isa and Umm Isa, Maryam alayhi salam. And Isa alayhi salam came as a Nabi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him to himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the end of Isa alayhi salam's time, Allah will send him back into this world as an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is not a demotion, this is a promotion. For the Nabi of Bani Israel to be sent as an ummati of Muhammad is a promotion. Allah does not demote. The reason I'm saying this, my brothers and sisters, so that we understand who we are. And we show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving this to us without even asking. Musa alayhi salam asked and he was not given. Somebody like Musa alayhi salam, ulul azam min al anbiya, Rasul of Allah, asked and this dua of his was not accepted. You and I did not even ask and Allah gave us. The sign of being an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is to pray 5 times salah at its time with this ihsas, with this understanding, with this feeling, with this realization that I am enjoying the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Not considering salah to be a burden that has to be discharged and then we escape. How tragic it is that today we have all kinds of great aspirations and goals, and I want to achieve this and that, and I want to climb this mountain and that mountain. I want to be strong, and all your strengths, and you go and pump iron in the gym and you have massive muscles, but those muscles are not enough to lift one single sheet or blanket from your face for Salatul Fajr. What strength is this? This is strength which cannot even lift one blanket or one sheet from your face to get you out of bed to come for Salatul Fajr in the masjid. How are you going to achieve anything if you cannot even achieve Salatul Fajr in the masjid? I guarantee you, if you don't do that, you will not achieve anything in life. Believe me. Try it out. It's your life. Anyone who does not pray tahajjud cannot do anything in life. Cannot achieve anything. But forget tahajjud. We are talking now about the first salah. Not only do we not pray tahajjud, we do not even pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. And then we have all these great aspirations and goals. I want to do this, I want to do that, I must make so much money, I must have this power, authority. God knows what. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Who is going to give you this? Salah is a gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not a burden. Salah is the proof that one has entered Islam. It is the physical manifestation by action of the faith that a Muslim declares that he worships nobody except Allah. Once he has that faith, he actually demonstrates it by worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed and taught his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If one says that nobody is worthy of worship except Allah, la ilaha illallah, but then does not actually worship Allah, then how can he say that he has faith? Salah is the action which distinguishes and sets apart the believer from the non-believer. Al-ahadu alladhi baynana wa baynahum as-salah, faman aradaha faqad kafara. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam, he said the ahad, the covenant, the promise, the line, the divider between us and them, meaning the Muslims and those who are not Muslim, is as-salah, the one who has left it has committed kufr, has left Islam. The believer worships Allah, the non-believer doesn't. It is that simple. Salah is the means for the Muslim to connect to his Rabb Jalla Jalalu. Al-Khaliq wal-Malik wal-Hakim wal-Raziq. It is the highest and most powerful of means, the most potent tool that a believer has to invoke for anything that he needs in life. It is his charge of energy which gives him a special light and power all through his days in this life, and is a light in his grave and deliverance in Al-Akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to rise and pray and draw the energy for his work from salah. Of all the ahkam of the sharia, the only one which was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the heavens is the salah. Everything else came as revelation on this earth. The salah was given to him as a gift above the seven heavens. Salah is to inculcate in us the habit of asking only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bowing only to Him. Not just the physical bowing, but also the bowing of the heart. The looking towards somebody or something to gain something or for protection from something evil. The Muslim does not look to anybody or anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for isti'ana. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, take the help of sabr and salah. And then Allah gave a warning and Allah said, and this is difficult, very difficult for anyone other than the one who has khashyatullah in his heart. Illa alal khashin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with this khashyat, inshallah. It is the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which draws us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which brings us into the masjid. It is the khashyat of Allah which is like a magnet which draws iron filings to it. This khashyat is the proof that you have knowledge. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَى. Allah said, the people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most, who have the most khashyat, are the ulama of this deen. By ulama, it does not mean the fariq of some darul ulum. No. The one people of knowledge. Who are the people of knowledge? Those who know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the proof? He has khashyat in his heart. That khashyat is that which keeps him from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever in anything. That khashyat is the thing which draws him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is engaged and concerned about only one thing, which is how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. His whole life revolves around this. One wish, one fear. The wish to please Allah, the fear of displeasing Allah. That is the sign of khashyat. You can have as much so-called knowledge as you like. You can be qualified from anywhere and anything. You can be hafiz of the Quran. You can be hafiz of every book that was ever written on Islam by anybody. If you do not have khashyat in your heart, according to the mi'ar, according to the criterion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are a jahil. You're not an alim. Because all of those books, Allah mentioned this. Allah mentioned those who are so-called learned in the kitabs. But the knowledge that ilm has not come into their lives, khashyat has not come into their hearts are dark. Allah mentioned them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَصْفَارَ. They are like donkeys carrying books in the saddlebags. The donkey can be loaded with any book you want, but the donkey remains a donkey. The fact that he is carrying a burden is only musibat for him. It's a burden on him. That's it. Khalas. Doesn't benefit him. That kitab does not benefit the donkey, even though he's carrying it. That is the example Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave. About whom? About ulama. About so-called scholars. Who take pride in having this knowledge and that knowledge and being graduated from this and that place. But if they do not have the khashyat of Allah in their hearts, if that knowledge is not visible in the way they speak, it is not visible in how they walk and talk, it is not visible in their dealings, it is not visible in integrity, it is not visible in honesty, it is not visible in the courage to stand and say what needs to be said and to follow it in their own lives, then Allah said they are donkeys. This does not mean you should not learn. Of course you should learn. But understand what is the meaning of learning. If you want to learn how to drive a car, reading a book on car driving does not make you an alim. Reading a book on automobile engineering does not make you an alim. You can be an automobile engineer and you still don't know how to drive a car. Driving a car means to drive a car. Is to learn. How do you learn to drive a car? By driving a car. How do you learn to cycle? By cycling. How do you learn to be a Muslim? By reading a book? By listening to a lecture by Sheikh Fulan bin Fulan? You learn to be a Muslim by being a Muslim. How do you learn to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By listening to lectures? By all means, listen to lectures. You need the info. How to do that? You need to know. But unless you and I practice it, we will never connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how many lectures you have written, how many lectures you have given, no matter how many books you have read. To connect to Allah, we must connect to Allah. And that connection is called a salah. With leaving the salah, there is no way of connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, I want to end with this to say that salah is to inculcate in us the habit, as I mentioned, of asking only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bowing only to Him. It is to inculcate in us the discipline of cleansing ourselves from impurity and sin, repenting our sins, returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, planning our lives, having a timetable, following a leader, standing shoulder to shoulder with our brothers and sisters, and collectively demonstrating the brotherhood of faith. It is important to understand the benefits of salah and to realize what a big honor it is, so that we gladly and eagerly fulfill its responsibility and benefit from its power. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who pray, who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with great joy, who look forward to that, who benefit from it, and the salah becomes our asas, it becomes our help and our resource in this dunya, and it becomes the means of our deliverance in the akhirah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.